Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on the Free FM CBS Radio. 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio at gmail.com, PennRadio.com. And I, this is Penn Jillette. I said I'm Penn Jillette, right?
You're Penn Jillette. You're so excited you forgot.
You're Michael Goodall. I'm so excited I forgot that you're that I'm Penn Jillette. I want to turn you up a little bit, Michael
Goodall.
Okay, I'm
going to
hear you a little bit.
All right, that's good.
I'll tell you. The excitement here is palpable. This is a very, very big day for us. I'll tell you, you know, we get a lot of callers into our show. We start a topic and people call in. This is the first time we've had a caller call in 7 minutes before the show started. 7 minutes before we started. We have a delay, in case you don't know, that because of all the FCC restrictions, we're on about a half-minute delay. And so when we say something, it's a half a minute before you hear it. But even with that included, 7 minutes early, we're also bombarded with emails, because everybody knows what today is going to be. You know, on Tuesday, was it Tuesday or Monday?
Monday.
Sometime. Past
Monday
week.
Earlier this
I
week.
Was just talking about my wife, who I love dearly, but how she sometimes gets pulled to the dark side.
Yes.
And it got me to giggling. Before I get into this, I want to say, there is a...
Before you get into the part?
Yeah.
Now we're double before?
We're double before we get in. Because, you know, I'm going to say the phrase, and then people get to hear Jonesy's music for the first time.
Right.
And it's a scratch track you're going to hear. Jonesy hasn't finished it yet.
It's not the final version.
A lot more instrumentation to do. Not the final version, but it will give you a feel for what this is. But I just want to tell you, and I couldn't be more proud about this. Yesterday we talked about me on the Chinese Viagra box.
Yes.
If you go to Google and go to Google Images, and type in impetuous man. Just type in, I'll give you a moment to do this. Type in impetuous man in Google Images, impetuous man. The first thing you will hit is a picture of me on a Chinese Viagra box. And it says UAS, I guess, instead
right.
of USA.
Typo.
But we had someone translate it for us, and it's talking about how this particular product, this USA, will rejuvenate your sperm. Talks about the impetuous American man. Now they have picked me. Somebody in China picked me as, I guess, the most
through a national polling.
I don't know how they did it, but I'm the one you'd most like to be when you're strangling a Chinese woman during sex. That's what the picture seems.
You
to
are
show.
The most impetuous man.
I'm the impetuous man. So right now, search impetuous man.
Number two
so
is
cool.
Mike Tyson.
Number two is Mike Tyson. So I beat Mike Tyson in this one way. In this one way.
Yeah, but now let's I don't get think beat is the word you were looking for.
We wanted to. We wanted to. You know, Mike Tyson went into a pizza shop here. And he only ate half of the pizza. And one behind the counter said, box for the pizza. And she got her left hook up pretty good, but he still took her out.
I don't think you need to finish that joke. You could have stopped there. Our listeners are very sensible people.
Okay.
They knew it.
Okay.
Better. Good thing you finished it then.
But this is going to be the day. I think this last Monday will live on forever in great memories, because that's the day I first described that feeling you get. We were talking about losing wallets. That feeling you get that wells up in you that says you should do something wrong, but maybe you shouldn't, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't, and so on. And I called that. It wasn't me speaking. The muses were speaking through me. And I came up with the name for that as called the pull of the weasel. So now we have decided this Friday is the first of many Pull of the Weasel Fridays. What was that?
It's pretty short.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. That's
this
nice.
Is hard to hum along to,
but it's exactly the feeling you get in your gut when you feel like something, you're about
a
to do something
Hammond
really
sort
wrong.
Of...
Very, it's not Hammond. It's kind of more Farfisa type
okay.
sound. But it's very, very, very nice. And it's that feeling. We all know it. We just want people to call in. It's kind of like a confession. And I'm going to start out Pull of the Weasel Friday.
Patrick's answering phones.
With my dear friend Rob, who is the husband of Renee French, our favorite cartoonist, except for, of course, Neil Gaiman. I got a letter from Neil Gaiman who said that that show about Neil Gaiman was one of the funniest shows he ever heard.
Yeah, I bet.
Maybe it was a little less funny if you weren't Neil Gaiman. He wrote in and said, and this shows the humility of this great man. Neil Gaiman said he thought that Neil Armstrong should be higher up on the hit when you write in Neil than Neil Gaiman.
So he's not an idiot.
He said he didn't walk on the moon. Here's the letter. This is the perfect example of Pull a Weasel. And that is indeed the subject of the letter from my friend Rob. It's beautifully written. I was living in New Jersey alone, and one evening stopped at the grocery store on the way home from work to pick up a few things, milk, juice, cereal, yogurt, whatever. It was about 8 in the evening, and many other commuters were doing the same thing. I stood in the checkout line for a minute or two before reaching the front. The checkout lady did the usual thing, taking things off the back rubber conveyor, sweeping them over the scanning window, and letting them accumulate downhill by my bags. In my helpful way, I picked the items up as they arrived and put them in bags. I noticed that a few of the things she was sending along were either duplicates, another quart of milk, or surprises, Cheerios, which I like but hadn't picked up that trip. I looked upstream and saw that she was continuing automaton-like to process things on the conveyor, and the guy behind me, who was occupied in a cell phone conversation, had failed to put down the official gray plastic divider between my groceries and his. I was therefore buying some of his groceries. I didn't mind, though. His taste was similar to mine, and the extras I was picking up were valuable to me. But I realized if this continued, I would buy all his groceries, he would notice, and we'd need to sort it out through some long manager-driven procedure I was eager to avoid. So I reached up, put my hand down as a divider on the conveyor, indicated where my groceries stopped. It was, of course, several items past the correct point. I bagged the rest, paid, and walked out, stealing a glance back to make sure the next customer was still busy on his cell phone. It was one of my proudest moments. I had done nothing wrong in any way except politeness, not something I'm known for anyway. I had stolen nothing. I had paid for everything. I had acquired a few extra groceries, but there was no waste. They were things I would really use. Eventually, I was sure the guy would realize he was short. Perhaps he had a wife who would accuse him of being an idiot for not picking up the milk he was told to get. He would protest that he was certain he had gotten milk and would be utterly confused when the cash register tape failed to confirm his memory. He would never realize that the customer in front had bought his groceries. Who would do something so idiotic? I had done nothing wrong, but I had a delicious, almost unbearable feeling of simultaneous guilt and joy. I had done something profoundly evil and perfectly correct at the same time. I had profited by paying attention, aware of an opportunity that I would probably never see again. As soon as I get home, I ate a bowl of Cheerios with fresh milk. It was delicious. Now that is perhaps the perfect Pull of the Weasel story. That's what all will be weighed against. We have a bunch of others in
the email. My wife heard that story and immediately went, I bet he's got kids. The next morning they're there for breakfast getting ready to go to school and they don't have Cheerios and milk. And man, that's really mean.
That's Rob, who is the on first Pull of the Weasel Friday, the first letter. And you know how much I love Rob, so I had to put that one in there. Let's go to the phones now. This is Drew. And Drew, you called 7 minutes before the show started, Drew.
Penn, can you blame me for wanting to be the first person with a Pull of the Weasel story?
You're the first one to call for the music other than me. That must be pretty exciting, Drew. tell us when the weasel tugged at you, when he pulled you.
Well, it goes all the way back to the fall of 2005.
Weasel was around then.
Yeah, oh yeah, in a big way. And I was actually riding in a cab in Baltimore City, and I found an iPod in the back seat of the cab. Which is a pretty simple thing. You find stuff in cabs all the time.
Sure.
Figured I had gotten myself a free iPod out of the deal, and went home. I replaced the earphones on it because God knows what you're going to catch from the back of a cab. And I started to check out what was on it. It was a bunch of interesting music, really weird mix. And so I started, you know, listening to it and using it, and it pretty much took it on as my own. And then I kind of felt a little guilty because, it wasn't mine, and who knows who lost it. I'd feel pretty bad if I lost my iPod.
Were you also playing the music that the person had on there?
You know what? I was.
And you know what? Violation.
Well, you know what, guys? It was such a weird mix of music that I was completely intrigued with this iPod. I mean, it had everything from jazz and classical music to speed metal, and I mean, it was
Wait a minute, you found my iPod. No, go on with the story.
It was a wild mix of stuff. So I didn't take anything off of it because it was just so random. So what I ended up doing was I started to feel a little guilty. So I put a posting on Craigslist on a lost and found for Baltimore. And I'd even devised a little test because, you know, you put up an iPod, anybody's going to claim that it's there.
Sure.
So one
of the things my wife does. She says she goes to gyms and says she lost an iPod.
She doesn't say she does that.
She says some people
you
do that.
You could do that.
That was one of her examples.
One could do such
That was
a
one
thing.
Of her examples of feeling the pull of the weasel.
Absolutely.
So go on.
So I devised this little quiz if somebody tried to claim it based on all this weird music that was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turned out, nobody claimed the iPod.
Uh-huh.
No one even tried to claim it.
Uh-huh.
So we fast forward another 3 weeks or so. Now we're around Christmas of 2005.
Uh-huh.
And I'm at a Christmas party, and I hear a guy telling a story about how depressed he was that he had lost his iPod.
Oh.
This is not only a pull of the weasel story. This is a very cosmic story.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I start up a conversation with this guy, and he starts telling me that he was so bummed out because he had gone and visited his brother in the summertime, and his brother had loaded all this weird music on his iPod for him, and it was stuff that he knew he was never going to find or get back, unless, of course, he goes and visits his brother again.
Uh-huh. Which he wouldn't want to do.
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, at this point, I'm putting two and two together and realizing that I looks like I've got this guy's iPod, just based on what he's told me about the music that was on it. I mean, it was right down to some really obscure stuff. Like, there used to be this Japanese metal band called Loudness in the 80s. Nobody's heard of this band.
Uh-huh.
You know? I had never heard of them before I had gotten the iPod. And this guy just pulls it out that it's one of the songs on the iPod. So I put two and two together, and I start to realize that I've got this guy's iPod. And now I'm beginning to feel the pull of the weasel.
Perfect, yeah. Go on.
So I tell him that I found his iPod.
Wow.
Because I couldn't stand the pull of the weasel. I was standing there, and I was just listening to this guy.
You fought.
Stop saying that.
You didn't. No, you couldn't stand. You fought the pull of the weasel.
I could not fight it, though. And I did fight it, I guess.
Yes, yeah. You won. Yeah, you won.
I fought it, and I won.
Yeah.
And I told this guy I had his iPod, and we exchanged the same, you know, the story with everybody else at the party and kind of caught everyone up on what had happened, which totally blew people's minds.
Sure, of course.
Because I had never met this guy before in my life.
That's so cool.
We just happened to have a mutual friend.
Uh-huh.
And I'm actually still friends with him to this day.
Wow.
And he's still whining. He's still whining about losing his iPod, what, weeks later?
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, he does whine about other things.
Not weeks later, months later, right?
It was about a month about a month and a half.
Yeah.
So 6 weeks later, you're still whining about losing his iPod.
Well, I'm so glad,
and your friends?
Drew. I'm so glad, Drew, that you fought the pull of the weasel, and that you won, because that's we need those stories too to balance things out.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much, Drew. Thank you.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
No, so our first pull of the weasel story was one of victory over the weasel.
Yeah, Rob let the weasel take him.
Yes.
He completely consummated his weasel relationship. But we're balancing it off nicely now. You know, this reminds me of one of the really creepy stories that I know that I may have told you, but I'm not only going to tell it on the air. I was dating a model in New York City, and very, very attractive. She did Victoria's Secret stuff, and she was also, she did a lot of stuff. And when I first went to her bedroom, she had this beautifully designed, huge, huge loft in New York City, Manhattan, beautiful, really, she had a lot of money from doing modeling. And over her bedroom window was this really haphazard kind of curtain thing that didn't fit in with everything else, was beautifully designed. And she said that a month or two before I met her, she'd been hanging out with these friends, okay? And they were at this this bar, and they began talking to some people who invited them to a party. Now, this is a really important thing. She did not know the people that invited her to the party, okay? No contact at all. And she had this beautiful loft with this huge window into her bedroom. And as I said, she was very attractive. And I'd been, you know, when I was in the bedroom, there's no window nearby it. You know, you could really feel very safe there, but she had curtains over it. And she went to this party kind of uptown at this random penthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she did not know the host of the party or anybody. And she's up there walking around the penthouse apartment, and she sees a telescope that's set up in the apartment of this guy that she did not know at the party, many, many blocks from her. And she just goes over, and just for kicks, she looks in the eyepiece of the telescope, and it is looking directly into her bedroom. And she says she has never been more creeped out. It just completely flipped her. And, of course, she had no idea how long it had been there. She had that window open to the city. It was in her bedroom. She was naked all the time. And she had gone to the party of the guy who had been watching her. And it was set there, clamped in place. We could watch her bedroom. And then she left the party and hastily went home and put up these drapes and then met me. So the creepiness had just begun. It had just begun. She was about to meet the impetuous man right after that. But let's take
it. That's really weird, because then running into him at a party, at a bar, it might not be random.
She didn't run into him.
Oh, she ran into some other friends.
She
ran
into some other friends who just knew somebody that happened to go to the party.
Okay.
She couldn't have been less related.
You know, spooky.
Really spooky. Let's talk to Mike. Mike, tell us about your weasel story.
Hey, it's Mike from Canada, and I got an old gray-haired weasel pulled me.
Tell me about it.
About 15-20 years ago, I'm a like starving student. Mm-hmm. I hopped a bus to go to my small Canadian university, right? I find this wallet between the seats. No ID. It's more like a little change purse or something.
Yeah.
And there's like $100 or $200 in it. To me, it was tremendous amount of money.
Uh-huh.
So I felt the pull.
Uh-huh.
Took the money.
Uh-huh.
Got rid of the little change purse.
Uh-huh.
Tossed it in the garbage or something.
Yeah.
Then on the train ride, an hour, 2-3 hours, whatever it was, conductor starts coming around. Anybody find any money? Now I'm too embarrassed. What do I say? What can I do? I think at first I only thought about the good stuff, right? But anyway, so I don't say anything. And as we get off the train, I see the conductor in the lobby of the train station in Antigonish, which I call Antigonowhere, Nova Scotia. And he's with a little old lady, and she's crying because she's lost all her money.
Oh, jeez.
And I have no choice but to keep the money. I felt as evil as a Boy Scout.
Wow. The weasel just owned you.
Don't I get music for that?
You haven't said the phrase yet, but please,
To pull the weasel. Wow.
Much I like that story.
You know what? The only good side of it, I know you got lots of calls, the only good side was since then I've been racked with such guilt. I give to charity all the time. I serve on, you know, different city committees and councils.
Could have given the old lady $20.
I just couldn't look at her. To this day, I have no idea what happened. I hope it wasn't for, like, food stamps or something.
Oh, man. Well, listen, part of the purpose of this day, this Friday, is so you can confess and then feel better. You are okay now. You've given to charity. Everything's all right. Yes, the weasel won that battle, but he did not win the war, Mike. You're a good man, Mike.
Listen, Penn, I love your show.
Thanks.
Listen to it here in the office in the cubicle.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be in Vegas again in a week or two. I'm going to try and see your show again. I met you last September.
Okay, we'll talk to you again.
See you, boss.
Okay, thanks a lot, man. That was, boy, that story really broke my heart.
The old woman crying at the train
station. I know,
station.
But it doesn't break my heart for her. It breaks my heart for Mike.
Well, sure.
You know, he got himself backed into a corner. That weasel had him. 866-570-PEN, 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. This is Penn Jillette, Mike Godot, Free FM, CBS Radio, talking about the pull of the weasel. Penn Jillette with Michael Cretel across from me. 866-570-PEN.
Pull of the bumblebee.
866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. That music can only mean one thing. We're talking about the weasel's pull today. Times that you've done the wrong thing or felt like doing the wrong thing. I'll tell you, the story from Mike in Nova Scotia really started quite a debate. Jonesy's working out next door listening to the radio. He came running in his, covered with tattoos and sweat in his gym. You know, he has boots tattooed in his legs. Yeah. So it's a weird look. He comes running in, and he is yelling, "What scum!" about Mike, who's on. And then Goudeau says, but to give the money back to the old lady would have been to confess. Why would have given her $50? And Jonesy was apoplectic. He was going, give it all. What's that?
Completely right. I have to agree with Jonesy.
I mean, we don't usually have somebody feeling the pull of the weasel right here in the show. But Goudeau was feeling that. I mean,
I'm trying to find a way out. And that's all. And my way out was not the sensible way out. I hadn't really.
The way out is to say, you know, pardon me, ma'am, but I found the purse. I couldn't find an ID in it, so I threw it away. And
I found it on the bus, and we've already been from the bus to the train, and now we're at the train station. So I had no way to give it back to you until this exact moment. That would have been right. Right. I was saying a way to get out without confessing was to go, ma'am, I heard your plight. Are you the woman who lost the money? Here's $50. I hope this helps you out. Confessing.
So you don't have to. There's nothing wrong with confessing.
You're right.
I found
I'm
your
wrong.
Wallet.
I'm not arguing that I'm correct.
Let's talk to
came in
maybe
straightened
one of the,
me out.
Look at this. Nothing else has drawn a rift between Ben and Joe like this.
This is not a rift. I'm saying you're right.
Okay. The weasel lives among us. The weasel lives in all of us. Let's see where the weasel lives in Dawn. Dawn, tell us about your weasel.
Yeah, hi. This was a couple years ago. I was a sophomore in college, and my school had this organic food program, and it was getting too expensive, I guess, so they canceled that. And I was working in the cafeteria, school cafeteria at the time, so everybody who was working there knew about it, like the labels on all the food, we'd figured it out. And so I got into this big argument with this kid who was working with me in the cafeteria about whether this was a bad thing or not. And he didn't think there was any problem with, it was genetically modified food. And I was getting, we were arguing, like, right in front of everybody getting their food and stuff, and I was getting really, really ticked off. We were yelling back and forth at each other. So, I don't know, in my passion, I agreed to a $50 bet that that someone in the next week in the cafeteria would get sick off the new food. So later that night, when I was realizing that this was a stupid bet, and I wasn't going to win. And in my panic, I came up with a plan. And I went to the grocery store.
The plan is when the weasel pulled you, right?
Yes, this is when the weasel pulled me. Uh-huh. I went to the grocery store, and I was looking through, soaps and weird stuff, like shampoos and stuff like that, looking at the warning labels.
Uh-huh.
And I found a soap that said it would cause nausea and vomiting on the warning label if it was eaten.
God! Okay.
So I went into the cafeteria early. Like, there's a time when it's open, but nobody really goes and starts working until, 15 or 20 minutes later.
Uh-huh.
And I put 3 bars of the soap into the mashed potatoes.
Oh.
And I mashed it up.
What? Did anyone get sick?
Three people. I don't know if it was they ate more mashed potatoes than anyone else or they were smaller. But, 3 people ended up getting sick. And I won the bet.
You won the bet, sir, but the pull of the weasel won you.
As a follow up.
Yes.
Another time.
Oh, man.
I made up a horrible story about myself just to get on the radio.
thank you so much, Don. Nice cover. Yeah. Let's hear what Dave has to say. What's the weasel doing to you, Dave?
Hey, Penn. Hey, Mike. It's great to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Right now, I work on a mainframe computer,
uh-huh.
and we send text messages back and forth to each other all day, me and my friends.
Sure.
And one of my friends is showing some bigwigs some important stuff on the system right now. just a minute ago, I was so,
a live Bull of the Weevil story.
So tempted. I mean, if you hadn't been on the radio talking about the Bull of the Weasel, I was going to send them some really weird homoerotic stuff or something just to really blow the minds of the bigwigs. It's such. He can turn off the text messaging, but he didn't because he trusts me, which is really a bad idea. But luckily, since you're there, you're talking about it, and you're my inspiration. I have managed to. It's 1:30 now. He should be done by now. So,
you may hope being on hold. We are right now as we speak. We are fighting the weasel.
Influencing the morale and the moral behavior.
You have held the weasel at bay.
We're keeping the weasel at bay. And have you made it now, or do we need to talk it through a little more?
No. 1:30. I should be good. I can send him all the embarrassing crap I want.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you, guys.
Once the big wigs have gone, please send him some homoerotic messages.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, good. Thank you so much.
Just to make him sweat.
Thank you so much, Dave. Wow. So we do good and we do bad.
We had a guy
make up a story about GM food, and then we had a guy who fought the weasel.
Fought the weasel at this moment.
And he won.
With our help.
Here's a Pull of the Weasel story. This is from Justin. There are programs that exist that allow a remote user to take control of a computer, even partial control. Here's a website you can download one of these programs for free. Most of the time, these programs are useful tools, but they have the potential to be very malicious. The only problem is that you have to have an administrator to install the program, which isn't a problem if you work as a lab aide in a college computer lab. I was working at a computer-assisted writing lab where students learned to type. I installed this program on a computer and assigned one of the students, whom I disliked, to this computer. After he started working on the computer to complete his assignment, I ran the remote control program at another computer and watched his screen. When the student was working on the typing assignment, I added a few of my own little characters throughout his assignment, like adding a T inserted where he was typing. It was very amusing to watch this student trying to learn to type with me messing with him. Love the show. The weasel pulled, the weasel won.
Harmless weasel. I kind of like harmless weasel.
Yeah, harmless weasel pull is good. I mean, Rob Pike, to me, his story is the real perfect, because you get all the feeling of giving into the weasel, all the gratification, and you haven't done that much harm, unless, of course, you believe, like your wife and his kids didn't have cereal the next morning.
You know, when I was a kid, and this is really stupid, I decided I was going to, me and one of the other kids I was with decided we were going to steal some candy from a store,
mm-hmm.
and I decided to steal a 5-cent Fire Stick, which is a flat piece of candy. And I took it and I put it inside of my coat pocket. And then, you know, we hung around the store for a while. And then we were getting ready to leave. And the security stopped me and said, "We think you're stealing stuff," and took me into the back room. And I was mortified, man. I was 8 or 9, and I was stealing stuff. And they said, "Empty your pockets." And I emptied all of my pockets except for the one with the candy in it. And they went, "Well, you look pretty suspicious, but I guess you're not. You can go."
Wow.
That was it. That was the end of the stealing for me, man. It was way too close.
How did that Fire Stick taste?
Oh, it was awful. Are you kidding? I couldn't get near it.
You never ate it?
I did not eat it. I think I may have thrown the coat away with it still there. I didn't even touch it again.
I once cut my hand before a juggling show.
Yeah.
And I was about 12 years old, had a juggling show, and I ran in, and we had to go on. It was a talent show. We had to go on right away. This is to show the kind of goody-goody Pollyanna guy I am. I ran in to the store. I didn't have much time to buy Band-Aids, so I opened the box of Band-Aids. I took 3 Band-Aids out, put in 50 cents into the can and ran out quickly because I needed to bandage my hand so I could juggle, but I didn't want to rip someone off. So, you know, it was like $1 for the box of Band-Aids. They made 50 cents for three. There was a profit. So that's how much I fight. I'm a real weasel warrior is what I am. And we'll be back with more weasel stories. 866-570-PEN-7366. PenRadio@gmail.com. PenRadio.com. Please, people, fight the pull of the weasel. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette on CBS Radio, Free FM, 866-570-PEN-7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com, sitting with Michael Goudeau. And we're talking about the weasel, that feeling inside you that tells you to do something wrong. Sometimes you fight the weasel and you win. Sometimes the weasel gets you. We've had examples of both today. I'm going to read, this is a very quick one that I really like. This is from... Erica. Hi, guys. I'm late to the game because I listen a day late on Pongcast, but I'm writing anyway. You're actually early, Erica. I don't know why, but I always feel the pull of the weasel in museums. I so badly want to knock over sculpture. I've never done it, but the pull of the weasel is so strong that I have to concentrate very hard to not push standing art on its side. Wow. Love your show. Erica from Madison, Wisconsin. How nuts is that?
I have that problem at shows sometimes. If I'm watching a play or a musical with a celebrity in it, I'm watching Phantom of the Opera, and I just want to go, hey, Benson! Hey, Benson! It's Benson! That guy played Benson! He's not a phantom! He's Benson!
I saw a guy do a really cool thing. I went and saw Elephant Man on Broadway, and it's very touching about was it David Merrick, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and with the 100 pounds of bone in his face and stuff. And there's a scene when he has with the nurse where she opens her shirt up, and there's this like really kind of sexy but very tender scene where he's never going to have sex with anybody because he's so ugly, and she takes her shirt off, and I didn't particularly like the play because I thought that the actual Elephant Man writings were so much more powerful than the play. Didn't think they brought much to it. But at the end, I can't say the punchline. I'm going to change the last word of the punchline, but you'll know what I mean. And it's very heavy, and it's a very serious play, right? And they're all, everybody's very emotional. And the end comes out for the curtain calls, and the woman comes out who's played that part, and she's like this very serious New York actor, and a guy in the balcony yells, "Show us your breasts!" Well, he didn't use the word breasts. And it was just a great moment. Everybody in the audience was appalled, but I thought
except
it was beautiful
you.
And poetic.
Was having conniptions.
And terrific. Let's talk to, man, it's just the weasel is so powerful in our life. We're just it's an embarrassment of weasel riches here, and we've also got lots of Gmails coming in. We're just inundated with weasels here. But let's go with Jesse. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, how you doing, Ben?
Never been better, boss. What's up?
Hey, about probably about 15 years ago, I used to be a bouncer, and the bar that I was in, the county closed early, and we would always go to the next county to go to another bar. Well, there was about four of us that went to the next county, and the way back, we saw a car by the side of the road, and one of the guys said, "Hey, let's roll the car."
So it wasn't really temptation.
Get
it was
a hold
just...
of me.
What's that?
Said I let better judgment get a hold of me.
Sure.
And so I pulled over. I was driving. And it was, one of those older Datsuns, maybe like late 70s, early 80s. A light car. So it's on the shoulder. And the shoulder, next to the shoulder, there's a hill, right? And
there's
a whole bunch of brush. And so it only turned out to be me and this other guy that, was his idea.
So your weasel has a name.
Yeah, I was just a weasel aide, yeah. So we picked it up, and we rolled it over, and it goes alongside the hill, and it falls in the brush. And, as we're going along, he tells me, Oh, yeah, I just picked it up and let it go about halfway. You're the one that actually pushed it over. Every once in a while, I think about some poor high school kid, you know, telling his dad, you know, yeah, my car broke down, and, you know, I need your help to go fix it. And then he finds his car alongside the hill, right at the bottom of the hill.
Oh, man. You're a big guy, huh? Bouncer and flipped over a car?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I guess I did have to ask that, but thank you so much. That's someone that did not resist the pull of the weasel, but actually flipped the car over.
And was weaseled by the very weasel who weaseled him.
Exactly. Renee writes in and said, does my desire to grab a cop's gun out of his holster count? Maybe I'm a victim of the weasel, the bastard. Yeah, you know that urge you have to, I have that around cops. You have the urge to grab the gun?
No.
Well, one of the heroes of my youth, I won't say his name, but his first name was Billy, and my dad was a jail guard. Mm-hmm. Okay, my dad was a jail guard at Franklin County Correctional Facility, mm-hmm, in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Small prison. And my dad did not like being a jail guard, but he had a son to support, and he took the job. And he worked with a guy named Billy, and they had this rookie in who was straight new guy, you know, mm-hmm, new guys in who did everything by the book. And Billy and my dad are sitting kind of watching this new guy go through his rounds, and Billy says to my dad, I'm going to take his gun away from him. It'll be really funny, you know. And so my dad is watching from one of the like tower type places as Billy sneaks up behind the rookie, okay, and goes to take his gun away from him. And, of course, right by the book, the rookie grabs his gun, turns around, and shoots Billy in the stomach. Boom! With my dad watching, okay? And Billy, of course, goes unconscious and is taken to the ambulance. And this is the part that I just love. And for my whole life, I will remember this. Billy came to in the hospital laughing. He came to laughing, going, man, he sure got me. He sure got the better of me. And that is the part of that story that I just adore. That's the kind of man,
right,
I want to be. The man who can do something that stupid and wake up laughing. And I remember the sheriff came in. You know, I was about 8 years old or 9 years, mm-hmm, old, you know, and the sheriff came in and said to Billy, you know, my dad was visiting him, and he was laughing. And the sheriff said, you know, I might be stupid enough to think of something like that. I might be stupid enough to do something like that, but I certainly wouldn't laugh about it afterward. And Billy and my dad are hysterical. Almost killed him. Almost killed him. He thought it was funny. And I just love that. I mean, that is the best part of humanity, you know, when you see that kind of thing. Let's find some other, let's talk to Vito. What's up, Vito?
Hey.
Do you have some run-ins with the weasel?
Yeah, I've got one where I'm actually involved in a conflict between an anti-weasel and a weasel.
Okay.
I was shooting pool, uh-huh, at a bar that's on State Line Road that separates, Calumet City from Hammond, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shooting against a guy that I didn't particularly like, and I was besting him a good part of the games that I was shooting. And we were playing for $5, $10 a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a little ferret face of a typical pool hustler.
Yeah.
And he was making a sort of a belligerent collection of side bets with people sitting around the pool table watching us play.
Uh-huh.
And he makes one bet that's a rather sizable bet. I think it was about $100. This is a story about 30 years old, so that was a significant amount of money,
sure,
especially the venue I was playing in.
Uh-huh.
And we were playing for $10 a game.
Uh-huh.
And what he does is he comes up to me very surreptitiously and says, if you drop this next game, I'll give you 50% of the bet I'm making on the side. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the minute I heard that, what it did, it just generated a tremendous need for me to beat him up. I wanted to kill him. And I was shooting the best I possibly could, and I still lost.
Oh, man.
Now what he does is, as I go to the bathroom, he comes up to me and starts giving me the $50, you know.
Oh.
He said that half of the side bet that he made. I'm looking at him, and I didn't have the heart to tell him. And I was really trying to beat him. I ended up using the money to buy the bar of beer a little later on.
Okay. Wow, that's a really great story. Deciding not to throw a game and losing anyway is great.
Yeah.
That means you fought the weasel, you beat the weasel, then the weasel came around and won and came back in. That's a very complicated...
Yeah, it is. It's a very complicated... I felt this need to tell you.
Thank you so much. A very complicated pull of the weasel from Vito there.
That is.
Let's see. This is from... I always like to read the stories from Natasha. This is cold. You've read this, right? I have no idea what
yes.
she's going to say.
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, sexies. The last time I listened to the call of the weasel was when I... She says she has the call of the weasel like it's a
I
novel.
Like the call of the weasel.
Yeah, but when I was in college, I was shopping at Walmart and decided to treat myself to a few DVDs. I didn't have much in my basket. I was in college and all my extra cash was invested in bondage toys. So I went to the self-checkout line. I was trying to check out one of the Walmartians descended on me, all suspicious. I guess my angry goth girl look was freaking her out. I was in college, and she thought I was trying to be sneaky. I wasn't, but she ended up grabbing all my items and scanning them herself. I was pretty pissed at this point since I wasn't up to anything, but I let her finish, gave her my credit card. When I get to my car and check my receipt, I realized that she had rung up my things wrong and hadn't charged me for any of my DVDs. I was so wicked annoyed at the Walmartian at that point that I didn't go back and pay for my three DVDs. The moral of the story, it's not really shoplifting if the checker does it for you. Kisses, Natasha. So, man, this is really, it really just opens up a whole morality play here, doesn't it? We have someone with a really, I'm going to have to do someone with a really quick one. Let's talk to Jim, because I think he called the last time. What's up, Jim?
How you guys doing?
Good. Do you feel the pull of the weasel?
Well, I didn't start out feeling the pull of the weasel. I was closing out my account at the bank, and my wife had put it down to the penny. We knew exactly what was in there. All the checks had cleared. And I go to close it out, and the woman gives me $800.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, this is just a teller, and I said, well, she's going to get in trouble. I said, I have a problem with the account here. And she said, well, you'll have to wait. And I said, well, let me go downstairs because I know the head teller. And the only reason I know the head teller is because I would overdraw my account and go down there, and we'd argue until she'd take the overdrafts off, and she hated me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to do her a solid. I'm going to go down and tell her. I go down there, and I say her name, and I said, there's a mistake in my account, and it's busy. And she looks at me and says, there's no mistake in your account. And I said, yeah, and she goes off on me. And at this point, the weasel's tugging on me. I'm saying, should I say anything? Well, she reads me the riot act saying, you know, all this. And I said, you know, ma'am, you're right. And I said, can you initial this, please, because I don't want the teller to initial it. She initials it. I give it back to the teller, and I leave.
There you go. I know sometimes, you know, once in a while, the weasel is on the side of right. But, you know, it's still a perfect... It's all the categories. It covers the pull of the weasel. Fine story. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jim. I feel like we should do some sort of tally, shouldn't we? I mean, some sort of...
At the end of the day, you think we need to add up how many times the weasel won?
I mean, trying to do a recap of the whole thing. You know, I guess the one that's the most bothersome is the guy with the money, with the old lady
yeah.
throwing away the change purse. Because that's a pull of the weasel that... It's kind of heartbreaking, but we're going to let him go. We're going to let him go, let him go. This is Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau talking about the pull of the weasel. This is just a scratch track. Jonesy assures us that there'll be better, more full orchestra music for the pull of the weasel. Penn Jillette, CBS Radio, free FM.